The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformers Reader.
Welcome back, everyone. Today in the Reformers Reader, we take a look at a great new cannabis cookbook entitled The Cannabis Kitchen Cookbook, very appropriate title, and our author, Robin Griggs Lawrence, is on the line. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad to have you here. And The Cannabis Kitchen Cookbook, it's available now, correct?
It is. Yeah, it's not available. It's in bookstores September 15th, but it is actually available online at all the majors for you can get it today.
Oh, fantastic. All right. So we're a week out from the official bookstore release, but you can get it online in advance, basically.
That is the story.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the Cannabis Kitchen Cookbook as far as how big is it, first of all? How much are we looking at reading through? And how does it differ from other cannabis cookbooks out there?
Well, you know, the first thing, there are more than 100 recipes, kind of well more than 100 recipes. It's a 325-page book.
Oh, wow.
It's a hardback, you know. It's a substantial book. You know, the reason I wrote this was because I have two favorite cookbooks in my repertoire. They're Joy of Cooking and the old Better Homes and Gardens, you know, Joy, you know, cookbook. And I needed something that had everything from how to select product to how to understand the difference between the different strains and cultivars, how to make the tinctures, and you know, also wanted to give some good background on the plant itself and its use as a culinary herb. So basically what I did is found 12 chefs, a mixologist who helped me with the cocktail section, a grower who really helped me get it right as far as the plant itself and choosing and processing and growing it, an ethnobotanist who taught me the history, you know, really gave some of the QC history of this plant to include in there. So it really is, what I really tried to put together is a compendium of the knowledge that's out there from chefs who have been working with this plant for decades. Really. So it's really a collective of their knowledge and their wisdom that they so generously shared.
Well, you know, you caught my attention when you said cocktails. You have cannabis cocktails in this book?
That's one of my favorite sections. Very fun. Yes. So we have a whole section on infused cocktails. And I worked with a mixologist and bartender who owns a bar in Amherst, Massachusetts. Just a fantastic, you know, really understands how the cannabis works, you know, with different types of alcohol. My favorite is infused green chartreuse, which is already a very herby or herbaceous kind of drink that when you add the cannabis to it, it's just like, woo, spectacular. And these are very potent, and you can only have one.
Wow. All right. So we've got cannabis, we've got cocktails, some of the typical stuff that we find in culinary cannabis are Rice Krispie treats and brownies and cookies and so forth.
Those, we do have one brownie recipe in there, but it has, you know, green tea and hemp and goji berries, and you know, it's kind of your superfood type of brownie. So what we really tried to do here is for people who can't or don't want to or just want to limit the amount of sweets, we have a great sweet snack section and we have a great dessert section, but we also have breakfast and breakfast beverages and you know, lunch, dinner, entrees, cocktails, you know, appetizers. So really something for every single part of the day so that, you know, you can, and it's all very, very nutritious. So I worked with a superfood chef and an organic only, you know, seed to table chef and a paleo chef. And so these are all chefs who are very, very concerned with the health of the food. And you know, one of my favorite quotes from the book is from Scott Durah, who is an award-winning restaurateur here in Denver and also a cannabis cooking instructor and just opened a dispensary and grow. And he says, you know, cannabis is a helping, healing herb, but it can only be that in the company of helping, healing food. And that's really the point here. These are healthy recipes.
That's really good
to
hear.
And,
you know, I'm you're in Denver, so you get a lot of opportunity to, you know, interface with the community there. Here in Portland, Oregon, we've got quite a foodie community. And,
yes,
you know,
I can't
drive three blocks without seeing a vegan place or a gluten-free place. Do you have recipes like that for the special diet folks?
Definitely. So definitely we've got some vegan. We included gluten-free, of course, because so many people are looking for that these days. One of the chefs is paleo, so her recipes are very, you know, protein-rich and, you know, very no-carb. So, you know, basically we just, it's, you know, you think about all of the different dietary considerations that people have, and we really try to provide something for everybody. But on this, at the same time, it also had to be delicious. So, you know, there was some discernment there as far as, you know, delicious and meeting dietary restrictions.
Sure. And speaking of delicious, one of the complaints that people will make about marijuana foods is that they taste like marijuana. What tips do you give people in the book as far as making infused foods that don't come off tasting like alfalfa or hay or whatever else people have said?
You know, which is, I think, you know, and part of that was back in the day when people just didn't have the methods and techniques down to, you know, to really play with the flavor. And so it's kind of like, hey, throw some weed in your brownies and see how it's that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that didn't work out. But so, you know, and there's kind of two schools of thoughts, and the chefs that contributed to the book come from both schools. So some of them really don't like that flavor and are masters at masking it. And that's kind of one of the reasons that you see it so often used in sweets and in chocolate and baked goods, because chocolate is great at kind of masking that flavor. But a lot of the chefs that I've worked with, they have access now to wonderful flavors of different herbs, you know, so some taste lemony and some taste sweet and some have a chocolate bite and some, you know, are more earthy. And so they, you know, instead of kind of trying to mask it, they're really trying to play with it. And so what they're doing is bringing in other flavors that will, you know, they'll complement each other. And they're using the cannabis taste as a, you know, just as they would use basil, rosemary, whatever, as really a taste that they're playing with, a flavor. It's like another flavor in their kind of palate.
That's interesting. And we're speaking with Robin Griggs Lawrence. She's the author of the Cannabis Kitchen Cookbook. You can follow on Twitter at Canna Cookbook. And I suppose you've got a Facebook page and a website, right?
Yes. Facebook, it's / Canna Bliss Cooking, CannaBliss Cooking. And Twitter, you said, is Canna Cookbook. Yes.
Excellent. Now, you know, I've got the opportunity to travel all over the country and sample foods from just about every region. How about the diversity of entree selections that you might have in the book, as far as, is there Italian food and Mexican food and Chinese food?
In fact, there's a Patanesca recipe in there that's fantastic. So yes, we have basically, you know, and again, try to just hit a little bit of everything. So there are some of your basics for, you know, kind of the feasting type of thing. So there's a roast pork and a roast chicken. There are definitely vegetarian options. So there are a couple of stir fries. And then there are a couple of pasta dishes. One of my favorite dishes in this in the cookbook, because it makes use of something that we used to just throw away, is the fresh fan leaf pesto, and that's made with the, you know, with the fan leaves, which generally get composted. Nobody's known what to do with them, and so you know, we brought that in as well.
Wow, that sounds great. And for a guy like me, you know, I could probably turn this cookbook over to my wife, and she could work wonders with it. But I'm not much of a cook. How about simplicity? Are there some simple, quick recipes for, you know, people on the go?
Definitely. And one of the, you know, one of the chefs in here, that is kind of her MO, is to always have, you know, fewer than six ingredients and keep it simple. You know, and another, you know, good thing here is if you can master the infusion, right? If you can figure out how to get your butter or your oil or your milk infused, you can use that in all sorts of different ways, right? So, you know, if you could just put a little butter on your toast in the morning, or, you know, a little infused cream into your coffee, you don't actually have to make a whole meal.
Yeah, just make it an additive to other things that you already enjoy. Yeah. Now, how
Which
did you?
Is a nice way to do it anyway, because then people have kind of control of their own destiny. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the chefs suggested, you know, making a dressing that's on the side, so people can decide how much or how little, or whether they want it or not, which is a good idea, because overdosing, as we know, can be a problem, and there's a whole chapter about that in there.
Really? Tell folks about that a little bit, because I've had that experience. It's not pleasant.
So have I, and you only want to have it once.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, it's super, super important. And, you know, as in Colorado, we've been saying for years, start low, go slow. And that's probably the biggest criticism that, you know, people have had on these edibles is that, uh-oh, all of a sudden you've eaten too much, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a whole chapter on how to prevent that from happening, how to really start figure out what the correct doses is for you, and also what to do if you do eat too much, because when it happens to you, you think you're dying. So, you know, I wanted to make sure to include some tips on what to do if you have eaten too much. You know, you won't die, but you just probably won't, you'll probably sink into the sofa and miss the party.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. And I've been there. I know that. You don't want to miss that party at all. The book is The Cannabis Kitchen Cookbook. Robin Griggs Lawrence is our author. And is this your first foray into publishing, or have you written other books?
No, I wrote actually three other books on completely different topics. My first book was called The Wabi Sabi House, and it's about the Japanese art of finding beauty in things that are imperfect, impermanent, and rustic. And I also wrote a book about healthy nurseries for babies. Hmm. So this is a complete departure and a kind of new career move for me.
Fantastic. Now, has cannabis been a part of your life throughout this process, or just as you've come to this book?
Well, and that's what kind of led to this book. So in 2009, my gynecologist prescribed medical marijuana to me. I had been raising kids. It just hadn't been part of my world for, mm-hmm. you know, really since college. And so when I discovered this kind of whole new world, and all of a sudden I had access to dispensaries and all of these different beautiful cultivars, I realized I have no idea what to do with this. I don't, you know, and so I really wrote the book that I needed. And so that's kind of what pushed this whole thing was I needed to know this stuff, and I figured if I did, there were probably other volleyball moms and dads and people out there like me who did as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you've come to it from that perspective, because there's a lot of people who are getting back into this after, you know, raising kids and the kids leaving the house and want to make mm-hmm. sure that they're starting with the right information and that they understand things like decarboxylation and going slow. And
right.
So forth.
You know, I'd never heard of that before. And they also need to, you know, and they need to understand, you know, it used to be probably for most of us back in the day, you know, whatever you got, whatever you could take in college. And mm-hmm. It wasn't what we're getting now. And so there's a whole education process about this really emerging as a, you know, an herb and a plant and a healing plant that needs to get out there because, you know, that whole paradigm has shifted.
Absolutely right. Well, Robin Griggs Lawrence, author of The Cannabis Kitchen Cookbook. Follow them on Twitter at Canna Cookbook. And what was it? Cannabliss.
Cannabliss Cooking on Facebook. And there's also a website, cannabiskitchencookbook.com.
All right. Well, thanks, Robin, for joining us, and good luck with the sales of the book.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We'll get another visitor from Denver coming up next. Mason Tvert from the Marijuana Policy Project joins us to discuss pulling that initiative that would have allowed public use, and maybe we'll get him to talk about Ohio's legalization as well. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420 Radio.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Marijuana is not addictive.